This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're live with Dr. Jeff Werber here on Instagram Live, here on Pet Life Radio, here for you, here for your pets. Anything you want to talk about, now's the time to ask because it's free. Free advice can't beat free advice. How to get a hold of me, 877-385-8882. Once again, 877-385-8882, or join me here live. Hopefully, if you're here, have your pets with you. Same on Instagram. Same thing goes. Good morning, B. So I just have to tell you, every Sunday morning, I go, my son lives 4 blocks away with two kids, soon to be three, and I have coffee with him. Anyway, he offered me some really, really good carrot cake and to eat with my coffee. And guess what? Beth made it. So it was really good. Anyway, so thank you. Thank you for bringing that over to Brandon's house. So a couple of things, you know, why you guys are getting the courage, the guts to ask me, it's not a silly question. It's a great question. Is ice cubes, are they bad for dogs to chew? And, you know, ice cubes are pretty hard. I often recommend ice cubes. I'll tell you when I usually recommend ice cubes. When we have a dog that is vomiting, but what happens is they're still acting okay. So they want to drink. But what happens is because they vomited, they get really thirsty. They want to drink too much. Then when it comes to vomiting, anything that stretches that stomach, even something as benign as water, can induce more vomiting. So I'm trying to limit how much water they should be able to get. You're not going to just sit there and give them a tablespoon at a time. The solution, put a couple of ice cubes in an empty water bowl. As the ice melts, they can go and they'll drink the water. And that kind of controls, governs how much and how fast your dog can drink. Because I want them to get hydration, but I don't want to stretch the stomach. So anyway, that seems to work. Now, as far as chewing them, a lot of dogs chew ice cubes. My dog used to love ice cubes. I would say that they're probably some of the veterinary dentists and those in the dental world will probably say like a hard bone. It might be too hard. Let's put it this way, and I can't guarantee it, but I've had many of patients, including my own dogs, chew ice cubes, never fractured a tooth. So it's probably okay. You might want to check with a veterinary dentist and see what they say. But other than that, look, a lot of dogs like ice cubes. They really do. They like chewing on them. We want to do what keeps our dogs happy. If they like ice cubes, give them ice cubes. For me, give me ice cream. Not the cubes, just the cream. I'll be in good shape. So anyway. Cat snippers. 10-month-old kitten has bad gas and soft stools. She has been dewormed, vaccinated, tried lots of foods. So, usually this is going to be something more dietary. And it was just a matter of combining. I would add, maybe think about some probiotics, maybe adding a little psyllium powder, some sort of bulk to the food. It could be cooked oatmeal, bran. I think some of those things could help. It's worth a try. Now, for a 10-month-old kitten, I would make it a very small, like maybe an eighth of a teaspoon, just a little bit of psyllium powder and see if that helps. Usually it's more of a colonic thing. It's unlikely at 10 months of age, a disease. And again, I would recheck the stool. It could be a parasite. There may be some things you'd want to try for deworming, even though it came up negative. You can also check if it's 10 months old, where'd you get it? If it was from a breeder or a legitimate source that knows if it has siblings, where the siblings are, check and see how the siblings are doing. But if the cat is still eating and he's growing and he's 10 months old and doing fine, I'm not worried about it long term. I know for you, it's a problem, but I think she's probably okay. I would try some probiotics. I would try some fiber, maybe like a dewormer, like a Panacure, and we'll just get everything just as a fail safe to see if it's something related to that. All right, JB, how are you? Brush my dog's teeth every day. Not only is it okay, I love this one. Is it okay to brush my dog's teeth every day? He needs to work every day, so we don't want him to have stinky breath. Well, and my feeling is absolutely. In fact, it's interesting. We were getting a lot of, I go on to, maybe we'll talk about it now. I go on to some of the news sources before my show, just to see what's going on in the veterinary world. What might you find interesting as pet parents? Because February is National Pet Dental Health Month. There were so many stories, even through the beginning of March, on dental health for pets. So I realize this is something we really should cover because many of you don't realize is that a bad mouth, bad teeth can, I'm not saying it's going to be, but it can be deadly ultimately. And that is the infections in the mouth, the infections in the bone, ultimate sepsis. The bacteria in the mouth often will colonize in the kidneys, causing bacterial glomerulonephritis. and in the heart valves, causing bacterial endocarditis. So even though the bad mouth in of itself, by itself, is not going to kill, but the ramifications and the side effects of a bad mouth can. So the way kind of it works from a standpoint of how does this happen? It starts with plaque. Plaque is the film left over from what they eat. And if you notice, if you open your dog's mouth and look at the teeth, which teeth seem to have the most accumulation of tartar or calculus? So it doesn't take a genius to look and find out it's the back teeth. Really? Well, not surprising. Why? Because those are the teeth that are used to chew. Therefore, those are the teeth that are going to end up with the most plaque, the film left over after eating. Now, if you look at their incisors, usually clean, unless it, I mean, we're not talking horrendous mouth that's been not handled for years. I'm talking about routine. You look at the fangs, they have a little bit something on the upper right, the gum line, but not terrible. It really starts with the premolars and the molar. Now, incisors, what are the incisors for? Incisors were for cutting. Now, when was the last time your domesticated lovely dog or cat had to cut, right, for their food? Which explains why they're not used often when they're eating. Therefore, they're probably not going to have a lot of plaque. Now, let's go to the fangs, the canines. Those were used for tearing. Again, where and how do our domesticated dogs, the way we feed them and the way they eat and what they eat, when have they had to tear for their food? So again, that's why they don't have a lot of... Now, let's go to the molars and the premolars, the chewing teeth. That's where you're going to get a lot of plaque. So if plaque is left in the mouth within a few days, this is where it gets scary. Within a few days, the combination of saliva and oral flora, the bacteria in the mouth, work on that plaque, and then it hardens, and that's when it becomes tartar or calculus. That you cannot get off. That has to be removed professionally with dental cleaning, dental scaling, etc. So when you go back to brushing your teeth, when you say, I used to say brush your dog's teeth a couple times a week, that'd be great. No, what we're learning now is they need to be brushed at best daily and every other day. I can live with it. But think about us. We brush our teeth several times a day, and we still have to go to the dentist for routine cleanings. Can you imagine how much more a dog will need to have a professional cleanings if you're not brushing their teeth at all or every third or fourth day? So ideally, our new recommendation, you should have their dog's teeth brushed every day. And then if you have to miss a day, it's not the end of the world. So now, knowing how difficult it is to brush a dog's teeth and how it has to be, they have to learn to enjoy it, it's best to start when you have young dogs. It should become part of their daily routine. You touch their toes every day. Touch their ears. Stick your finger in their ears. Take a little cotton swab in their ears. Start working on their mouth. Make it fun. Make it something that you're going to give them a lot of positive reward. Get them to enjoy having their teeth brushed, and you'll be on the road to eliminating a lot of these oral problems. So I hope that helped. For those of you who are brushing your pet's teeth frequently, but not at least every other day, start doing it every day. And that's kind of what our newest recommendation. And it is, I'm telling you, I've done some posts lately showing what a dog's mouth looks like after having extracted sometimes, in one case recently, 15 teeth, right? 15 teeth, they have 42, 15, all right? Because of just neglect. And it wasn't done purposely because people don't know. In fact, what was so interesting about this case with the 15 teeth, the mom had two Pomeranians and she was taking them both on a somewhat regular every 6 months or once a year to one of these anesthesia-free places. I was a groomer. One was one of these outfits that does the anesthesia-free. And she would look at the teeth when they would come back and they look pretty good. They did get the tartar away. But what was going on under the gums, which they can't do on an awake animal. I mean, when you think about a cat, it's sometimes tough even for me to open up a cat's mouth and get a good look, let alone start scraping away. So cats 100% need to be sedated. And dogs to get under the gums also need to be anesthetized. And that's why I know it's scary. We recommend, you get the blood test first. You make sure they're safe. Knock on whatever you want to knock on. I mean, we do sometimes, anywhere from 5 to 7 to 8 dentistries a day with anesthesia, and certainly have not, again, had any complications. If these animals are hooked up to monitoring equipment, you use the right medication, you make sure you start with a healthy animal, you do the blood test, et cetera. And let's talk about age now. I've had dogs that are 13, 14 years old that need to be sedated for dentistry. And I say to the owner that the longer you wait, it's not going to be the anesthetic that's going to get them. It's going to be the disease that's going to get them. So it's more dangerous, in my opinion, to neglect the mouth than it is to take that very, very low risk and clean your teeth properly. Okay, I heard there's a new cheaper anesthesia that is causing respiratory symptoms. Katie Boo, give me more information on that. I have not heard. The only respiratory things that I can imagine when it comes to cleaning mouths is that even if you're going to use something that's more of a, and sometimes we do, Dextromethor, it's a lighter anesthesia. It's reversible. It has its pros. And I, as I said, we use it sometimes too. But I will tell you that if these dogs are not intubated during the procedure, that's where they're going to get respiratory problems. Every single dog that is anesthetized under any circumstance, if they're down enough to be able to do what you need to do, they're down enough to put a tube down their throat and make sure that tube had two functions, really. Number one, airway. That's obviously the most important. If there should be a problem under the anesthesia, there are two things you need to help get them back if they should, heaven forbid, have a bad reaction to anesthesia. Number one, you need an airway. Number two, you need access to a vein. So regardless of the type of sedation, even if you're going to use an intramuscular sedation on a really aggressive dog, they still should have an IV catheter placed, no ifs, ands, or buts. And again, when it comes to intubation for an airway, that also is very, very important. So I'd have to know more about these cases because I don't think it's necessarily the medication. That I doubt. However, I don't doubt that it could be whatever they were doing and not putting a tube down their throat to maintain an airway. That tube also protects against aspiration. That debris, when you're creating, you're mystifying, you're bringing all that and that debris, that bacteria, the food particles, and you're putting it into a mist when you clean with the ultrasonic scaler. That's very easy to breathe in. And then that's what gets in the lungs. That's what's going to cause a lung problem, not the actual sedation. So my hunch is based on that these animals were not intubated and that's why they had a problem. So my recommendation, every sedation, IV catheter, intubation, no ifs, ands, or buts. All right, next up, there was another good question. New York Yankee, difficult trying to brush my almost 16-year-old Jack Russell Terrier, put dental liquid for fresh breath. Okay, now let's talk about things like that. Are these food additives, these water additives, these chews good enough? And the answer is no. Are they better than nothing? Yeah. I mean, if that liquid additive in the water gives them fresh breath, then that's okay. I mean, you have to live with the dog. But the problem that, first of all, Jack Russells are Jack Russells. They had started, and sometimes we adopt these dogs as adults. So I get it. I'm not saying it's easy. But early on in the game, you should start at the first. What I do is I tell people, just take your finger with a little bit of the toothpaste. Usually get a poultry or chicken, whatever flavored, or a fish flavor. If it's a cat, they used to like a shrimp flavor or a tuna flavor. And you just start by rubbing on their mouth just with your finger back and forth, just from here to here, just the fang to fang. Okay. Do that every day and right away follow with a treat, with a meal, something fun, something enjoyable. And also, I think I've shown this before, don't go at them, come from behind. So you get behind them, you're petting them in the head, right? Their face is away from you. And then just stick your finger in there and start working back. You get to the point where, first of all, they like it. It's tasty. And they don't object to being, you know, massaged in the gums with something tasty. And then they get their food, their treat, their walk. So now the association is they're going at me and I'm going at them. And that the issue is that they start getting used to the procedure and they associate it with something positive. Now that it's a positive association, they'll probably let you more so go and start with the finger brush. And I tell you, for dogs and cats, I'm very happy with just the finger brush. But one warning, there are two types of finger brushes out there. One, you know, the material is like a rubber, some kind of material, and the bristles are also that same material. That's not going to do it. But you can get those same sleeves that fit on your finger with regular toothbrush bristles. Those are the ones you want to get. They're more effective and they will wipe away that plaque. Again, once it becomes tartar, once you see that thick plaque, I mean, the tartar, the calculus on the teeth, you can brush between now and next Sunday and you're not going to get any of it off. So you need to brush frequently enough to get off that plaque. Dog develops severe respiratory symptoms after spay. Rescue has spent thousands on tests and answers in your picture. Labor breathing, lots of mucus in the nose. That to me is some sort of aspiration. So I don't know what medication they use to anesthetize. I don't know if the dog was intubated. I don't know if the cuff at the end of the tube was tight enough, or it was just coincidental. And and if it was one dog, so you don't make a case on one animal because that animal, if it was spayed, what does that tell me? It tells me she was young. Hopefully she was. Now, a young dog could have some sort of, you know, immunocompetency, incompetency. She could have had something else going on we didn't know about. Then she gets anesthetized, and that adds more stress to the body. And now whatever was lingering in a very simple, you know, treatable condition becomes a lot more aggressive. And that's why she's having such problems now. So it's one of those things, but personally would not make a judgment on an anesthetic protocol based on one bad case, especially if it's the same protocol they've used for hundreds and hundreds of spays and neuters, then it's probably not the protocol. It's probably that individual dog. All right. Question, doctor. Is it normal for a dog to limp occasionally after CCL surgery? It's been 12 weeks now. Yes, totally normally. First of all, I don't know what technique was used. Was it the lateral suture technique? Did they go intracapsular? Did they go extracapsular? Did they do a TPLO, TTA? It all depends. But the surgeon that comes into our office does TPLOs on big dogs, lateral sutures on smaller dogs. But they now are making smaller plates. The experts still feel that the TPLO, even for a small dog, is preferred. But, you know, depending on the age of the dog, the activity, the cost, I'll often do a lateral suture for smaller dogs. But 12 weeks, you know, remember, you cut that bone, it's 6 weeks just to heal the bone. So is it crazy to think that we're still having a problem? No, but I would take x-rays, make sure everything's okay, make sure they're on pain medication. If there was an implant, and now if it was done, if the other suture was, the lateral suture was done, I would make sure they can do a drawer sign to see if it's, if the joint itself is still tight. Anyway, with that great question, we are going, hold on, surgeon told me not to worry unless he doesn't use a label. And I agree, it's most likely going to be fine. It just takes time. It was a TPLO. Then for sure, you just have to give it more time. One more thing before we go to a quick break. The issue is that these dogs, when they have surgery like this, they do feel better. And yet dogs don't know that even though I feel better, I still got to take it easy. So it's often these dogs are doing too much too fast because they feel better. And then they're not letting the healing process finish completely without incident. So we have to be the brain. We have to stand up and say, no, 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 dog. I know you want to go out there, but I'm not going to let you. I know you want to jump on the furniture, but I'm not going to let you. And you have to be a little more strict with these dogs. Anyway, hang on a second. Don't go away. We'll be back after these short messages from our sponsors here on Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You're at Pet Life Radio. We're here on Instagram Live. We've been talking about, I read something that I found very interesting. A 70% increase in emergency room visits because of dog bites from 2005 to 2022. That's 17 years. Okay. And we're talking about, you know, why, what's really changed. A number of reasons. First of all, dog parenting has gone up. So we know that for a fact, that we are seeing more and more dogs. And therefore, more households in America have pets. And also, during COVID, as you recall, many more dogs were adopted. And though we love this to hear that many dogs were adopted, we're also seeing an increase in dogs that may not have been well socialized, because you're getting adult dogs, which is great. And then also, it's teaching kids and how to read dogs. Dogs read us better than we read them. And I lecture every few years, whenever time they get a new batch of residents at Children's Hospital Los Angeles. And the two things I cover with their specific expert, dog bites, is going to be dog bites. And you know, more of a trauma doctor. And also I'm doing one on zoonotic diseases, and that I couple with one of their infectious disease specialists. And you know, they obviously handle the human side, the baby side, the kid side, and I handle the prevention side and more information about the animals that are spreading these diseases. So anyway, what's this attributed to, this increase in dog bites? And that's pretty frightening. That's a huge increase. Poor socialization, not recognizing the signs of anxiety or fear. Those are the biggies. And then, of course, putting dogs in a situation where you don't know. I can tell a dog, and I had one just the other day that was a fear biter. It was scared. And what happens is that they're not socialized well, and they're not in a position to know that this environment is not, shouldn't be scary. They might bite. This was a big black German Shepherd, and he was young. Nobody wanted to get bitten by that guy, certainly not me. So anyway, when you see these signs, super anxiety in situations where the dog seems to get aggressive, biting, snapping, is it around something? Do you have? Is it kid safe? Is the kid walking around the house while the dog is chewing his favorite toy? The kid walks near the dog and all of a sudden that's not good. That's not good. And that growling is not coming from the kid. That's growling coming from the dog. So you know right there that this could be a tough situation. And, you know, again, I brought this up many, many a time. But when I was five, I was, I guess you could use the word mauled by 11-month-old intact male Doberman Pinscher that my daughter thought would be really cool to bring home into a house with four small kids. And I got nailed on the face. And fortunately, the plastic surgeon did a pretty good job, I hope, put me back together. And but anyway, no, it's bad. It is really bad. So then couple that with this next sad fact. I mean, not to say that seeing 70% increase in dog bites isn't sad. It's very sad. But many U.S. shelters and facilities are so overcrowded. Check this out. Check it out. Last year, more than 359,000 dogs and 330,000 cats across the nation were euthanized because of overcrowding. That is really scary. Now, fairly good news is cat adoptions have gone up and they're on the rise, but now dog adoptions have kind of flattened. So get your, I mean, whatever it takes, adopt, don't shop. Try to get these and spay and neuter your pets. I mean, I can't say enough, unless you have a prize Westminster, you know, Purina champion, and you're investing a lot of your time going to these dog shows, and your dog is scoring a lot of championship points, and you, he or she is going to be used for breeding, and you're legitimate, and you're knowledgeable about breeding and puppy care and how to handle problems, you know, when these dogs are being whelped, right? Or these kittens are being queened. Then that's okay. I mean, I'm not against breeding, not the backyard breeder, not the one. You know what? We just thought it'd be great for the kids to see, you know, what it's like to have puppies and to watch them. Oh, get a video. You can learn a lot from a video, and you're not subjecting and bringing more puppies into the world that you're just going to have a tough time getting rid of. And then they're going to end up at a shelter. So that's not the answer. You want to see a birth right now? Go onto the internet. You can see as many births, whatever species you want. It's there to be seen. And that was a better way to teach your kids about birthing puppies or kittens or horses or cows or whatever you want to watch. And I remember I was at one of these kids' fairs. This is years ago. I think I've told this story. And they had a petting zoo. So apparently they go to these different farms out in who knows whereville. And they collect a couple of goats and a sheep and a pig. And they bring them in this petting zoo. It's cute. So I'm there. And I pull up. My kids were young at the time. And I'm looking in the truck and in the little pen. And there is a goat. I got to tell you, was three times normal. So, I mean, she was huge. And I go to the kid, and he's just a kid who picks up the animals and drives them. He was 19 years old, and he knew nothing. I said, he goes, no, I just pick him up. And anyway, I said, you know, that one should not be out here. This goat is about to give birth. So puts it in the truck, and I keep going back and forth, and I'm just keep my eyes on this goat. And she is now hunched down, and she is pushing, and she is pushing. And I'm saying, this is not right. So off comes the jacket. Oh, I was asleep. And I go up there. And sure enough, it's a breech. First, I get the back legs out. Okay. And then I'm pulling and pulling. And then the front legs come out. And the kids now are all standing over this truck, you know, with the slats, and they're peeking in between and watching this live birth right before their eyes. And it was so cool to watch. Anyway, this kid goat gets up. Within minutes, they start wobbly, but they're starting to stand up and walk. And all of a sudden, what happens? Mama starts pushing again. Oh my God, which happens in goats, twins. And I go up there again, get the second one out. And I mean, look, for these kids, it was a great experience. For me, not having worked on a large animal since I graduated med school, it was kind of fun too, but it's great to see, but you don't plan on that. If you want a kid to see it, let them go ahead and actually rent the video, as we say. All right, before we go, yes, Jack Russell's teeth are shark style. Yes, they are. My 8-year-old poodle had 6 teeth removed on Friday. She is still out of sorts. How long is it coming? She went right. Okay. So a couple of things with that, Michelle. So I don't know exactly what technique they used. First of all, it's not uncommon. All right. Pain meds and antibiotics go home with every animal that had tooth extractions. I think that's important. So I don't know, gabapentin, depending on this, if it's an eight-year-old poodle, meloxicam, Medicam, probably was sent home as a non-steroidal. There are some things that it's going to be, but rubbing the face, I'm still sure it hurts. I don't know if they sewed up the gums or not, depending on how big of a defect was left in the mouth. And on top of that, I think that a lot of these teeth should have x-rays done, dental x-rays. And the reason for that is you want to make sure that there's no fragments of bone left behind. So if you're extracting a tooth and you see a nice root coming with it, you're probably okay. But if you extract a tooth and the top of the root is jagged, there may be a little bit of a segment left behind. And then what I recommend is we just do dental x-rays just to make sure that it wasn't decayed and that's why it was needed to be pulled in the first place, but that actually there's no fragment left behind. So just check that out, but give it a little more time. The coughing could be just because of the endotracheal tube, but you definitely should be on antibiotics and pain meds. That's my recommendation. All right. So I think that's it. All we have time for. Next week, we'll be here. Same bat time, same bat channel. If you have any questions during the week, send them to me because a lot of times your questions are so good that I really like to share them with the entire audience. So I may get back to you personally if it's something that's urgent, but I'm just, you know, if it's a good one, and I tell people that all the time, I say, you know, that's a great question. I'm going to use it next week on the show. So I don't know if I saw the article. There's an article in the Wall Street Journal a couple weeks ago now about these areas like Beverlywood, which is where I live. And it made the Wall Street Journal, kind of good, kind of bad. It's gotten so ridiculously expensive. I think that was their key. But hey, we hit the map. They used to call Beverlywood, Beverly Hills' little sister. Now, I think it's becoming a big brother. So anyway, we're all set. Thanks for joining me. Any questions during the week? Otherwise, have a great week, everybody. Hope you're here in LA. We're going to ease up on the rain and we will. It's good for us. It really is. Okay. Brush your pet's teeth. If there was a take-home lesson from today's show, get your pets into the habit of having their teeth brushed regularly. Every day is best. Every other day I can live with. But don't start going twice, three times a week because it may not help as much as you'd like. All right. Any other questions? You send it to me. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.